Well, good afternoon. This is David Whited. I'm an executive director and independent unfranchised owner with Market America, and I am really excited about our guest speaker on our call today that has some incredible information to be able to share with you. And if you don't already have a pen and a paper out ready to take some notes, you're going to hear from somebody that's really accomplished what I think a lot of people on the call here tonight are really working towards and working towards accomplishing, and that is creating a residual income through your own independent business that can really free up an extra 40, 50 hours a week in your life to pursue other things. And we're going to hear a little bit more in detail on how she's been able to do that. A couple of things you might want to take a note of real quick as we get started is there's a CD by a gentleman named Paul Zane Pilser called Make Your Move. If at this point in the process, if you've not listened to that CD or heard it, get hold of someone, the person invited you to the call, and get the information from that CD, regardless of what you do. If you sell shoes for a living or furniture or climb mountains or professional rodeo clown or whatever you're doing, the information on that CD will impact your life over the next 10, 15 years, regardless of your industry and what you do as far as owning your own business. It has some incredible information about our economy and where things are going, and I tell you what, it's really handy when you have the inside track, and it's really the information is on there for you. Next step in the process, if you have not at this point also gone to thepowerprofiles.com, it's a website put together by Market America that documents earnings of different distributors, people who have kind of already accomplished what you're setting out to do. And the website is www.thepowerprofiles.com, T-H-E, Power Profiles with an S on the end, .com. And you can search independent unfranchised owners there by geography, by last name, in lots of different ways. And so with that, I am really excited to introduce our guest speaker here tonight. Nicole is from the beautiful and soon to start being warm state of Maine. We talk about the 2 to 3 year plan quite often with Market America, 2 to 3 years to generate a six-figure income. She shaved some time off of that and has been able to accomplish that while still managing a young family and really growing, you know, in lots of areas and pioneering an area herself. So, Nicole, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you guys so much for inviting me on the call.
Well, we're glad to have you. I got my wife, Stacy, on here as well, and we just kind of wanted to have a little conversation here with you and have you share a little bit with the people here in the Midwest, and I know you're going to be coming into Tennessee to do a seminar for us and really train this specific area on how you built your own franchise coming up this next September. But you kind of share a little bit of your background and kind of, you know, what you did before Market America and what you did at that point when you were first evaluating this.
Absolutely. Well, it's funny, David, when we were first introduced to Market America, Jeff and I were not looking for a business whatsoever. My husband's name is Jeff, so when I refer to him, that's who he is. We weren't out there seeking out a business. We weren't looking to, especially not to do another home-based business. We had never been introduced to any type of a home-based system or networking marketing system whatsoever. So we didn't really have a big background in networking. What we did have was we were both self-employed small business owners. My husband had taken over his family's silk screening and embroidery shop that he had been, you know, working in much of his childhood and early out of school, started working with his father, and then ended up buying the business from his dad. So we were both raised with the idea that the harder you work, the more hours you put in, the more money you're going to make at the end of the week. And we felt that the best way to be able to do that, to make the most money at the end of the week, was to write your own paycheck and to be your own boss. So that's why he took over his parents' business, was the business that he had been raised in, and he thought that was the best way to start our family off. I was also a small business owner on a different scale, that I was running a full-time daycare out of our home. Jeff and I felt very strongly that we wanted to raise our kids, and you know, we have three beautiful boys. At the time,
I have the picture of your three boys here. It's just about a daycare right there.
It is. I feel like some days I'm still running the daycare, that's for sure. But yeah, at the time, we just had our two oldest, Kyle and Ian, and you know, I just really felt like I felt very strong that I wanted to be there raising them. And you know, Jeff worked his job 8 to 4 and made sure he was home at night for dinner and stuff. So that was a really big piece of our family, was being there to raise our kids. So I ended up starting up the daycare just to really be home with them. I love working with kids. I always wanted to be a teacher. And I thought the daycare was kind of a good way to make a little extra money on the side, but more importantly, keep us home, or keep me home with them.
Right.
So that's what we just started.
How old are your kids now?
Right now they're 11, 8, and 5. At the time,
okay,
I didn't have Devin when I started the daycare. I didn't have my 5-year-old. I did the daycare for about 4 years, and right in the thick of things with the daycare, we decided, well, why not have another baby? We've already got, you know, 12 kids full-time here anyway. What's one more, right? So we ended up having our third son, Devin, right in the thick of the daycare. Like I said, we had 12 kids full-time. I ended up hiring my sister as an employee because I had too many kids to handle on my own, which was great. So I experienced a little bit of leverage. I'm talking like 15, 20 minutes a day that I was able to go maybe and, you know, run an errand and know that she was there to work my business. The other piece of that, having an employee, was that I had to pay her first before me. So if there was no money at the end of the week, or if we had a bad week, she got paid first, right? And then whatever was left over was for me, the business owner. There was a lot of expenses with the daycare. I fed all the kids, so our grocery bill was crazy. And Jeff had the same sort of headaches and stress on his plate being self-employed as well. He had one employee there, and the same thing happened. With the silk screening and embroidery business, it's a very seasonal business. That there's times in the year, it's feast or famine for most of the year. It was, you know, there would be a great month, and then the next month there'd be no money coming in. So we kind of got used to that we would say, okay, we knew the summer was a great time of year, but the winter was going to be really tight. So we really relied on the daycare money more in the winter than we did in the summer. With the daycare, I closed the daycare in the summer, so I was home with the kids all summer. I only took teachers' kids. So we thought we had a really good thing going, that we were both self-employed, writing our own checks. We had enough money to get by. We certainly didn't have big investments or, you know, retirement funds set up. But we figured, you know what, at the end of the week, we had plenty of spending money. We got to vacation when we wanted to, and we were home raising our kids. So it kind of was fitting in and working for us at the time. And I always had it set in my head that once the kids got into school, I was going to go back to college and become a teacher, because that's ultimately what I wanted to do before we had kids, was become a teacher. Yeah, we had Kyle very young. Most of you guys on the call tonight are going to be able to relate to this. Most times when you have your first baby, it's not planned. So we were very, very young having Kyle, and I did put college kind of on hold to start up our family young. And but now, you know, thinking, okay, great, I'll have plenty of time once they're all in school. So that was kind of the road that we were heading down. And like I said, we didn't know any different. We were introduced to the business by Heather Philo, Bonnie's daughter, Heather. Most of you guys who've been in the business a long time recognize their names. Those of you that are guests on the call or brand new in the business might not know them, but they're big pioneers in the New Hampshire and New England area. But at the time, we didn't know who they were, and Heather came into the silk screening and embroidery business and asked Jeff and his father, Gary, if they had any retirement set up and if they had any other income coming in to their current small business. And their answer was no, and she asked if they wanted to evaluate a business to get some more information on creating a little bit of leverage or just even a retirement fund. And at the time, they said no, that they weren't interested in listening. And then she followed up about 6 months later, came back in to get some more engraving done. She was actually getting plaques done for Market America. So that's what kept on bringing up the, yeah, it kind of kept on bringing up the conversation, which was great. So she came back in about 6 months later and asked Gary and Jeff again. And at that time was just when Gary was starting to turn everything over to Jeff. So Jeff's dad had no retirement set up, and he said to Heather, "You know what? I'm sick of running this, you know, small business. I don't have a retirement set up. Maybe I should sit and listen to what you have to offer." So Heather often jokes and says, "You know what? I wanted to relate like with like." So she brought her mom along, and she says, "I had to bring my old mom along to meet with Jeff's old dad." All of us know Bonnie. No, but that's very not true. But so, when they went to the meeting, Gary brought Jeff along and said, "You know what? I've got this meeting. I want you to come in and listen in on." So Jeff thought it was a silk screening and embroidery, you know, business meeting that they were going to get some more jobs. So when he walked into a business presentation, he was very confused. They met at a Starbucks coffee shop, and sat down, listened. He listened just to the interview overview process, not the business plan itself, but just kind of a little quick overview about the company and about residual income. And they both said, you know what, this looks great on paper, you know, sounds good. You need to, Gary, my father-in-law, actually said, you need to put this in front of Nicole. She's the one with the big mouth, and she knows everybody. You should talk to her. And I was like, great. So Jeff came home and told me a little bit about it, and I said, honey, you know what, we don't have time for anything else. I was the president of our schools, our elementary school's PTO at the time. I had just signed on for a two-year contract. Jeff coached everything and still does coach everything that our kids do. So every night of the week we had something going on. We had school events, we had our kids' stuff, sporting events, whatever it was. There was always something going on at night, and then daytime was filled up with our jobs.
Hey, you're excited to have a 15-minute break from the daycare, let alone come up with 15 hours
exactly.
to start another business in addition to everything.
That was my, you know, big thing. Are you possibly thinking that we could squeeze in another business on top of our crazy lives right now? And when we were first introduced to the business, our youngest son was just about a year old. He was about 11 months old. And so, you know, at that time I was still breastfeeding. I was still home full-time. Couldn't leave him, you know, for a minute. And I was like, what? This is crazy, Jeff. What are you doing? You know, and he said, well, Heather's going to come to our house. And, I was like, no way. So he canceled on Heather three different times. And what was
wow.
important, though, yeah, she just kept on following up, and he just said, you know what, this week isn't good, this week isn't good, this week isn't good, and kept on blowing her off and hoping that eventually she'd get the hint and not call back the following week. thank God for Heather, she kept on calling back, and she...
She is a little shallow, isn't she?
She sure is. She was the follow-up queen.
Yeah, for those of you listening to the call tonight, if you're not familiar with that name, if you go to that website, thepowerprofiles.com, and put in Philo, and that's spelled P-H-I-L-O, Scott and Bonnie are pretty much just about, you know, royalty within Market America. They pioneered the, you know, the Northeast and have been with Market America for quite some time and have helped many, many people earn a six-figure income. But it's a beautiful thing to see now their daughter, you know, coming along. And, you know, that's my dream for my kids as well. Now they're kind of entering high school and those ages, to be able to partner with them on the business, and that's really what they've done. And it's exciting for me, Nicole, hearing your story, just because that's kind of second generation, and you talk about residual income you can will on to your kids, but you're living proof of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. That,
you know,
the
second generation doing it, so that's exciting.
Absolutely, no, it is. It's great. So anyway, so Heather continued to follow up with Jeff, and finally Jeff came home and he said, listen, this lady's not going to leave me alone until she comes over to the house. She's coming over tonight, so, you know, whatever, it's going to happen. And I was like, you are crazy. So I just remember feeling so frustrated by the whole thing. Like, I just really didn't feel like we were going to have time to even listen to this lady spiel. You know, I thought, we have insurance people come over and, you know, investors come over and this and that, and it's just always a sales spiel. And I just really, that was kind of in the back of my mind. My, you know, prejudgment, I guess, of what was going to happen that night. And instead, I was very surprised by the way Heather came over, and she just really got to know us and asked us a lot of questions. She found out a lot about our businesses. And at the time, I was thinking, well, she's really nice. She just wants to know more about Jeff and Nicole, right? But now, as a business owner, I understand she was trying to find out what we would benefit from most for Market America. And what she really taught us that first, what she really taught us that first night was about residual income and about having leveraged income. Neither Jeff or I had any piece of leveraged income in our life. So if we were not there physically at work with our two hands and 2 feet, money was not coming in the door. And when she kind of brought that to light for us that night, it really scared us. And we both looked at each other. She left, and we said, wow, there was nothing. If, God forbid, something were to happen to us, you know, if we had gotten sick or injured, the daycare was going to close immediately. And those parents, as much as they loved me taking care of their kids, they were not going to pay me when I wasn't there taking care of their kids. And the same thing with Jeff's business, you know, and that really kind of scared us. It frightened us quite a bit, and we said, okay, we better sit down and really kind of take a look at this more seriously and see what it's about. And the more we looked, the better it looked. We continued just to get more and more details about the business, the products, the people. We had a lot of people come over and evaluate it on our behalf even before we partnered up with Market America. The first 6 weeks we evaluated this business, we just had people. We thought had, you know, the best situation financially, people like financial advisors, people that were making six figures. had leverage in their life, big, huge business owners, and then people that had built network marketing companies, because my fear was that what if this was a multi-level marketing company that, you know, was going to be one of those things or a scam, and I thought, oh, I don't want to get us tied up into that. I had no experience, like I said, with any type of networking or multi-level marketing industry, but my one experience was that my aunt and uncle had built a company, a multi-level marketing company, and I was their babysitter at the time. I was a teenager. So I remember seeing, you know, this big, huge, they had these big, huge dreams and hopes and desires, and then it all fell apart, and they didn't make any money. And I just remember feeling like, oh, I don't want to ever get tied up into that. So I had them come over and check it out, because I was thinking, if it's multi-level marketing, they're going to see right through it, you know. I had some other girlfriends who were doing, like, home-based businesses, party type of businesses, and I wanted no part of parties. I didn't want to be carting, you know, big baskets full of, you know, whatever around and try to sell my goods at parties at night. And that was a big fear of mine, too. So I had those girlfriends of mine come and check it out. And the more people we had check it out, the better. Everybody kept on saying, you know what, you better check this out. This looks great. And, you know, not only do we think you should do it, but we want to back you and we want to do it with you and we want to partner up with you guys. And so I think at the beginning of our business, we were just really excited because people didn't knock us at the beginning and they said, you know what, this, some people did, and I'm not going to say everybody was like, oh, great, do this. We had, you know, our closest family and our closest friends said, you know what, guys, this looks a little scary and we don't think you should do it. But it was the people that we really respected their opinions, that had the business sense about them, that said, you know what, this looks great on paper, let's, you know, give it a go. And that's why we got started. We only worked very, very part-time. We could leave the house about one night a week. Basically what we did was I told Heather, I'd give her my schedule for the month, and I would say, you know, this is what I can do for nights this week. It was about one, maybe two nights at the most, that I would leave the house.
You still got a little baby, you know, and
yeah,
you're running the daycare and trying to fit all these things in.
Exactly, and that's the thing. I think people sometimes feel like, oh, I can never do this, but if you can just put in a few minutes here and there, the kids slept every day, it overlapped for about a half hour that I had nap time or that they were all eating, that they were quiet. So while they were eating, I'd go and hide in the other room and make a couple of calls or get, you know, check my emails. And so there was little minutes of time that maybe I was sitting down to a cup of coffee before. I might have been sitting down looking in a magazine during the daycare day, you know, taking my break for those 15, 20 minutes. So I gave up little tiny minutes during the day and built it very, very part-time on the side. And then that second year, the first year I built it alongside the daycare, and then that second year when the summer came up, we said, you know what, we have a choice to make here, whether we go through another year of daycare or we, you know, really go full-blown with the business. And we decided to put the daycare aside and just really focus on Market America. So that was kind of what got us started. Once the daycare was closed, I had so much more time on my plate. And we were master coordinators when we closed the daycare. So we had enough income coming in that we could supplement the daycare loss. But we still needed to really focus on the business. And that's what we've been doing ever since.
You didn't really get ahead at that point, but you bought back a lot of your hours.
The hours speak so much more than the money. I mean, the money is great. I will never argue with the checks that come in on Monday mornings, but the time that this business has allotted our family is like, you just can't even put a price tag on that. Now, 4 years later, Jeff is, he just sold his business. We will have been in the business, actually last week was our 4-year anniversary, and he sold the business, his family business, about 6 months ago. So he's home now. Yeah, so we're both just, you know, loving life right now as far as the time goes. And, of course, our focus is on building Market America even more. The supervisory level is a great level to be at, but we have so many more things to accomplish in the business and in life. But the time is, you know, is where it's at with our family right now.
And making a six-figure income, now close to $10,000 a month, without the building, without the employees, without all the government paperwork and insurances and, you know, payrolls and all the things that come with it. You know, it's just pure cash flow now, because your only real overhead is, you know, maybe, you know, a cup of coffee at Starbucks or whatever you're kind of spending in the process. You know,
exactly.
Or a laptop, if you need to buy a laptop, or some of these other kind of basic expenses that you probably would have bought anyway.
Exactly. That's what we found the biggest difference. And, you know, with the fear of, you know, of those months where, oh, the winter's coming up and nobody's going to buy, or the summer's coming up and the daycare's going to be closed for the summer, that fear is gone. And that hit in the bottom of your stomach wondering from week to week whether there was going to be money left over, that's gone. And that that just, I can't even tell you the price tag that that has on it, to know that it's residual income, that no matter what we do from week to week, that money, we had built up that business, and you know, it's not just about us making the money, but we have people in our organization making money and changing their lives, and moms and dads slowly getting home with their families as well. Seeing that impact is just huge.
And that's the neat thing about, you know, the unfranchised is, you know, every month of the year, I don't care if it's Christmas or if it's hot or it's cold or what's going on, you know, if people take OPC3, they're going to take it every month.
Exactly.
People are going to use their cell phone every single month. People are going to, you know, we get paid on everything. You have somebody clean your house, you get paid back on that. You know, every single thing
exactly.
You do, and those are residual, you know, things. You know, the products and services that people want regardless of what you're doing.
And they're consumable things, you know, with the daycare, when the service was done. It wasn't, they didn't, you know, they might have used me for a year or 2 years at a time, but when their kids were old enough, that service was done. That was not a consumable product necessarily, and Jeff's silk screening business was not consumable. Once you bought a shirt from him, it was done. The sale was done. So, you know, he might have had a repeat customer, say, come back the following year, but he was constantly out there looking for new customers, and I was constantly out there looking to build the daycare business. What we found with Market America is that we've created these little handful of customers. Our 10 to 15 customers are our original customers that we had 4 years ago, and, you know, maybe once in a while I'm at a, you know, playground or at a soccer game, and I might add a customer here or there, but I'm not out stressing out, seeking out brand new customers from month to month, you know, week to week, out there with that stress on my back, which is such a great feeling. I don't feel like a salesperson walking around wondering if I'm going to get that sale met for my, you know, monthly quarter, my,
right.
You know, it's great.
Because if you had a new customer, that's great, but you still have the customer you added 3 years ago.
It's perfect.
You know,
and they have to order,
you know,
their vitamins. Yep.
They still have that. They still have that going on. Now, Nicole, is your information on the powerprofiles.com?
It is. Yep, it is.
Oh. Your picture on there. I want to give everybody the spelling of your last name. If you go on there and you type in Parmley, 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 by last name, you can pull up a picture of she and Jeff and their kids, and, you know, there's some kind of neat things on there. But, you know, what an incredible opportunity to have children, you know, three small children, and now, you know, you're home full time and making a six-figure income. Very few people have the time and the money simultaneously. Some people maybe will get laid off or get downsized or something. They got all kinds of time on their hands, but, you know, tremendous financial stress. You guys have time to hang out and do stuff there and coach the teams, and, you know, there's not a whole lot of little league coaches making six figures.
You're right on that, and not, you know, the fact that we both can be there volunteering at school, but the teachers still just think it's so bizarre that Jeff is in the school just as much as I am. To see you see a lot of moms volunteering, you see a lot of moms doing field trips, but to see dad alongside with mom is, like, incredible. We get comments all the time. We walk our kids to school. We live about a quarter of a mile from the school. So we walk our kids to school in the morning and pick them up in the afternoon. And, you know, we're always getting comments on that. How in the world do you guys walk your kids to school every day and pick them up every day? What, you know, what could you possibly be doing? You know, and we just joke around, you know, and they, you know, some people probably think we're doing something bizarre, selling drugs or doing something crazy. But, you know, little do they know that we're, you know, really changing a lot of people's lives, and we're helping to better other people. And that's what it's all about, you know, for us right now. It's great for us, but it's, you know, it's one thing when you can change your own life, but it's totally different when you can turn around and change somebody else's and see other moms and dads walking their kids to school every day too, right along with us. So that's really what it's about.
And Jeff's a pretty tough looking dude. He would be the good dad to have on as a bouncer on the field trip.
Oh gosh, that's funny. He's so not a tough looking dude. He's like a big teddy bear. That's cute. Oh, you wait till you meet him, Dave. You're gonna crack up over that one. No, the kids love having him around, and the parents, you know, really enjoy having him as a coach too. Him and I are both volunteering right now in the school system to do a little T-ball clinic, and the kids just really look up to him as a dad. And, you know, what a great role model for our three boys to have, to see them and to see their dad that's both home and involved and making, you know, supporting their family the way that they should be. So it's
right.
Great.
Something, you know, there's some good notes people should have already kind of taken in the process here, and that is, you know, you were a really good steward with what you had your hands on early on. If you had 15-minute window, you used it productively. And, you know, it's kind of what people do in their spare time a lot of times will determine where they're going to be 2 years from now. It's not so much what they do for a living that's going to determine where you end up at retirement. It's what do you do in your spare time, you know, that really dictates it. Do you use it to do something to move yourself forward, or use it just to sort of, you know, sometimes maybe just anesthetize yourself from the misery of your current job or something. You'd spend it just watching TV or something to space out. So you really, really did a great job of handling little windows of time early on, and now you have big windows of time and kind of do whatever you want with. But, you know, that came at a price early on. Share with us a little bit more some advice for people starting out with a busy schedule. How did you manage that? Because, you know, you didn't put the family and things on hold for 2 years and go build your business. You really did it in the process. And Stacy spoke with you quite a bit yesterday, and she said, man, they are just really got it together, and the family is priority number one. And they incorporated it, you know, seamlessly, you know, in their life. And so what's some advice for people that are kind of in that same mode? They're feeling like, you know, how do I handle this and keep all that other together at the same time?
Exactly. You know, it was a huge challenge at the beginning, and, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's not a challenge, because it is a challenge. You do have to overcome and give up certain things. But you're right. Our number one priority is our family, and, you know, I feel like we had these kids, and now it's our job to raise them and raise them the way that we want them to be raised, not by somebody else. So, and we don't have, you know, daycare or nannies or any of that stuff going on that we had the flexibility that you might think of people. Oh, if they're earning six figures, they must have a nanny. Well, we don't have a nanny. You know, we never did, and we never will. But what we did do was we did have to give up some, you know, little pockets of time. For me, I ended up taking my free time, what I would consider my free time, like if I, you know, if I was going to go out with my girlfriends to see a movie, you know, that's great time and it's fun to go out and see a movie and to spend a night with your girlfriends. But for me, it wasn't going to better our family and our situation in the long run. So those are the minutes, a lot of times, that I ended up giving up at the beginning was the free time. Jeff loves to golf. He's a huge, avid golfer. And so that was one thing that he sort of gave up or cut way back on golfing, because that was like an all-day, you know, when you golf, I don't know about in Tennessee, but here in Maine, it's like an all-day event. I don't know what goes on at the golf course, but that was kind of what he geared back on. So instead of golfing two or three times a week, he might, you know, he may have cut down to golfing once a month. And when he was on the golf course, he was doing business. Instead of me going out with my girlfriends, you know, every other weekend, or, you know, picking out, going to do pottery or going to see a movie one night a week, we would, you know, spend that time doing Market America. And a lot of our friends got frustrated by that at the beginning of our business. And so I, you know, tried to, you know, make them feel better. And then we finally said, you know what, our friends aren't going to get us to retire. Our friends aren't going to pay our bills. Our friends aren't going to be here in the winter months when the silk screening shop isn't paying our bills. You know, they're not going to be writing us checks. So we needed, that was kind of something that we were willing, and we both sat down and said, you know, we don't need to hang out with them as much. You know, we can still do friend things, but on the side, it doesn't, you know, that needed to kind of go down a notch on our priority list. And we did give up some of the kids stuff that, you know, maybe instead of both of us being at every game or every event, one of us was there. And, you know, our kids play baseball like 3-4 nights a week now. So I make sure that I'm at 80% of their games. But, you know, if I miss this, for instance, this Saturday is our main district, and we're going to miss both of our kids' baseball games. But the rest of the weekends for the month, we're at all of their baseball games. So I'm willing to give up one Saturday a month, but I'm not willing to give up three Saturdays a month. So that was kind of the balance for us, was constantly going back and forth. Something that we did that I think is really important with anybody with small kids is that we did not make Market America a negative in our family and a negative in our life. It's a very positive asset to our life, and now they see that 4 years later. But 4 years ago, the way that we started it was that we were, you know, Market America was a bonus, was an extra, was our playtime. Was, you know, instead of us having a date night, we ended up making Market America our date night. And that was the way that our kids saw it. So they, at the beginning, we used the language that we were going to go out and play Market America. They would say, Mommy, you know, instead of us working or being a job, it was a fun thing. So are you going to play Market America tonight? Yep, we're going to play Market America tonight, guys. We have friends coming over. to listen about Market America. So, you know, one thing that we did was we put a TV upstairs in like a little family room that we had with a pullout couch. So they got to watch TV on the Market America night. So they learned to love it when we had kickoffs, but they didn't think of it as work. You know, it was fun. And still to this day on the Market America nights, they get to sleep in our bed and watch a movie in our bed that night. And they fall asleep to a movie that one night out of the week or out of the, you know, couple of weeks. That's like a fun for them. So we made it really a bonus to them that Market America was in our lives. So now they'll still say, Mommy, do you have to play Market America tonight? And, you know, it's a yes or no. It's never work. It's never a job. And we wanted to make that a priority for them, too, to make it a positive thing in their lives as well. So they look at Market America. I mean, my 11-year-old son just changed our screensaver on the computer, and it says Market America built on product powered by people.
That's cute.
You know, at 11 years old, it's crazy. They went to convention with us this year in Miami. We brought them to Florida to see. We wanted them to see the big picture, and in their eyes, they wanted to meet JR and see who JR is. They hear, you know, they hear him on tapes, and they hear him in the car all the time, and they wanted to see him. And it, you know, they're just a riot. For those of you who were at convention, my little 5-year-old, he sat there, and when JR was asking us to get in the wheelbarrow, he looked at Jeff and he said, Daddy, I don't want to go in that wheelbarrow. So, you know, they know exactly what's going on there. You know, they're very excited about the business, and it's a very positive part of their lives today, you know, and it was 4 years ago too, but I think you have to start right off the bat making it a fun, positive piece of your life instead of looking at it as a negative or looking at it as it's taking away. It's not taking away, it's enhancing what you already have. And you know, and if you could just have a little ball of, you know, a magic ball saying where you're going to be in 4 years, if you could just commit a few minutes every day to your life to know that you have that lifestyle, you know, if I could let all of you guys just spend a day in our life for one day, you would do whatever it takes to get there in 4 years. And,
right.
You know, that is so important to see. And I say that to a lot of people when I'm meeting them for the first time. Do you have a plan? You know, do you know where you're going to be in 5 years? If you could sit down and have a cup of coffee with yourself 5 years from now, what would you be saying to yourself? What would you be hoping to see? How would that conversation go? And that was really our focus, was where do we want to be in the future? You know, not so much today, but where are we going to be when it really matters? And, you know, when Kyle's in high school, I want to make sure that I'm here. You know, when those years are tougher for him, we want to make sure that we're involved. So that's where it is.
If you have a 10-year-old, 4 years are going to pass either way. He's going to be 14. You know, if you have a 4-year-old, 4 years are going to pass either way. They're going to be 8. And is it where you're going to be then? Are you still going to be, you know, distracted and doing a lot of things? I think what's impressive about what you and Jeff have done is a lot of people can attend a seminar or something and get excited, you know, and they'll talk about things with their kids, but it's the daily activities that they see, the disciplines from you guys, really carrying through on a daily basis. And it's like a workout program. It's like doing anything else. It's the little things that accumulate day in, day out. There's never one big event, but they see the benefit of that, and that's a life lesson they'll carry with them forever, whether they grow up like Heather and be six-figure earners in Market America as well, or whatever they do. You know, they really see the correlation between a sacrifice and paying a price and then an ongoing, you know, benefit. And I think people in any field have that. It's important that you went back with your friends and shared that, because if you're an accountant, your friends know, hey, you're not going to be hanging out in April.
Exactly.
You know, tax season, you know, it's like they just know that's the deal. For a few months here, I'm going to be sort of out of the loop. I'll be in the office till 10 at night or something like that. And you just let them know, hey, for a couple of years, you know, we're going to be spending some time, you know, building up this business. But if you're a farmer, it'd be the same way. If you were, you know, there's just seasons with any profession. The difference is you spend a couple of years, and now, you know, I don't know how old you guys are, but you're young, you know, and you've got the next 50, 60 years of your life left, you know, to really enjoy, you know, with just a part-time job.
Exactly. And you know what we found? We both just turned 30 this the last couple of months here, and what we found is a lot of our friends that are, you know, just now starting to have families and have, you know, get married and have kids, they're stressing out about time, and, you know, and that's their, you know, they might be making the six figures where they had gone to college and gotten a great job and gotten out of college and started making six figures, but they, to them, a six-day work week was nothing, and now they're looking at us saying, okay, what are they doing different, because you're right, we're making the six figures, but we're also the time, you know, and that's there. And now our friends are going, okay, maybe they made a good sacrifice a couple of years ago to not hang out so much. And you know, and they're starting to kind of see a different light now. Not that any of them are going to jump on and do the business tomorrow, but at least they respect what we've got going and the time that we've put in, and they, you know, they understand now. And what we found is that the people that really truly supported us 4 years ago are still the ones that are going to support us today. And Market America kind of became our closest friends. Our business partners have become the people that we really enjoy hanging out with because they have the same outlook on life and they have the same positive attitude that you want to be around. It's just so much fun to be around other distributors that are forward-seeking and thinking the same way you are.
Well, there's nothing that enhances a relationship or a friendship better than helping someone else get free financially and take care of all that stress in their life. That makes any relationship, you know, a lot better. So,
absolutely.
Nicole, I appreciate so much you being on here with us tonight, and you and Jeff both for the sacrifices you make, just not only for your organization, but and making the commitment to come here and do a training for us in Tennessee this upcoming September. And you kind of have yours, but now you're investing back to make sure other people get the same thing, and we just really appreciate that, and thank you so much for doing that.
No problem. We're excited. I'm really looking forward to visiting in Tennessee. I've never been to Tennessee, so it'll be really fun to get to see the area and to meet everybody. And in the meantime, I'll start looking for business partners before September out there.
Well, that would be awesome. So, well, thank you so much for being on here with us tonight. Everybody listening to the call, thank you so much for your time as well. If you caught a lot the first time, I encourage you to listen to this call again and you know, really take some notes, because there are some life lessons here that I think everyone can take away and apply. Make it a great week. Really invest into your future, and when you get there, you'll be glad you did. So make it a great week. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.